Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 152, the free motion episode. I've been practicing my free motion quilting. I'm watching my Leah Day class, which is free. I can't remember the exact title. Essentially, it's free motion quilting, a sampler quilt. And it's good. She's very good, and she's a good presenter. She has a nice, calm, pleasant presence. I would say that the first three or so lessons are really geared toward the absolute beginner machine quilter. So there's, you know, she talks about basting a quilt and things like that, and I know how to do that. And so it's not really until you get to the heart of the lessons where you get down to free motion quilting and how to do it. I will say, in an early lesson, she made a suggestion which I took and I think so far has worked out well, which is to get a slider. You can get these on Amazon. I'll try to put a link if I can think of it. It's just a super slider, and you put it over the, what do you call it, the needle plate of your machine, and it just allows you to maneuver fabric much more smoothly and easily. And I got the small super slider, which was expensive. It's $25 for something that's about the size of a sheet of paper. There's a larger queen size super slider, and that's coming in close to $50. So I thought I would start with the small version first to see if I even liked it. I do like it, although I have not actually started quilting the mosaic quilt, so I don't know how it's going to work with a larger object. I just have used it so far on pot holders, and it works quite nicely with them. I want to make this a rather quick introduction. Did I tell you that today is Saturday? It is, and it's November 29th, and I have a bit of a cold. Not a bad one. You know, you get some colds that make you feel sick, and then other colds that just make you sound really bad. This is more the latter, but I don't want to spend a lot of time sniffing and snorting, much to your great displeasure. So let me, first of all, just thank everyone for the comments. I've been getting so many comments. You guys are just doing great. You really are. I am proud of you, my listeners. I think it probably does help that I am posting more regularly, but your commenting encourages me to do this. In my last episode and on my last blog, I asked, did your mother teach you to quilt? No, basically, did your mother quilt and did your mother teach you to quilt? And I got a lot of responses, and I'm not going to read them out loud here, but they're wonderful and interesting. And what's particularly interesting to me is that most people's mothers did not teach them to quilt. Most people's mothers who replied did not quilt. A lot of people's mothers sewed but did not quilt. But what's interesting is that people's mothers learned to quilt later, like mine did. So, you know, my very quick history is that my mother sewed. She tried to teach me to sew, bless her heart. That didn't take. But she sewed and then started quilting, I don't know, 4 or 5 years before I did. And so a lot of the commenters said, my mother sewed garments and sewed a lot of my clothes, and she started quilting, making quilts about the same time I started making quilts. So that's really neat, I think. Just maybe, I don't know if I think it's neat because it mirrors my own experience, or just that that a lot of people are having the same kind of experience that I had, because it's very fun that my mom makes quilts and that we can talk about quilts and go to quilt shows together. So, but also interesting that there does seem to be this gap, not in sewing skills, but in quilting, that there was a generation of women who sewed but did not quilt, which is what I thought might be the case. Folklorist, anthropologist, quilt historian that I am. Anyway, I love the responses, and I want to thank everyone for commenting. Very quick, if you would like to comment on this episode, you can come over to my WordPress site, which is www.theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You can email me at fdowell, that's Francis Dowell, do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. Before I forget, I did get an email from Sally attesting to the wonderfulness of her juki.
Actually, she calls it her juju. And she has the 2010 Q, which she got in January, and it has become her primary machine. She says it quilts beautifully and sews beautifully, and her other machine only comes out when she needs a buttonhole or a fancy stitch. So, hey, food for thought, the juki, or as Sally says, the juju. In any event, I heard from Michelle, from AJ Dub, also known as Amy, from Shelly Beth, from Miss Lottie, from Noni, heard from Laura, Sherry D, Walker Lady, heard from Terry, and a lot of people were very touched by Terry's quilting story. And if you're looking for it, Terry spells her name T-E-R-J-E. Nobody knows why. Maybe she'll tell us one day. But anyway, she had a very lovely story about learning how to quilt. Heard from Tammy. Heard from Tammy three times. She's like going for the prize. She's going for the best commenter ribbon. Best commenter ever ribbon. She really is. So also I pay her for every comment. So there's that. Heard from Colleen, who said she teared up at Terry's story. So there you go. You gotta go read it. Heard from Debbie, my new best quilty friend, who came to visit me from California. Okay, she really wasn't coming to visit me, but we did visit a couple weeks ago, and she commented, a woman of her word. Heard from Marianne, heard from Jay and Margaret Kay, heard from Quilting Piece by Piece, which is also known as AG, Lindsay. All right, give me an A. What's that A stand for? What's that G stand for? Anyway, heard from her or him. Heard from Quilt and Jenny. Heard from Susan. I think, is that it? Is that 21 people? 21 comments? It might have been. Anyway, I want to say thank you to everyone for commenting. Please come and comment. I love to hear from you. And here's my latest question. First of all, if you did not get a chance to comment on whether or not your mother quilted, and if so, did she teach you to quilt? And if not, let's add this. Who did? Who taught you to quilt? How did you learn? I forgot that a couple weeks ago, I put out on the Twilter sphere the question about what would you consider like the most five most popular patterns, or the most popular patterns of the last 5 years. And I wrote it all down someplace. I don't have it now. If you did not respond to that on Twitter and you have some ideas, what are the most popular patterns of the last 5 years? Let me know. I'm curious. As some of the patterns that came up, Swoon, Disappearing Nine Patch, Farmer's Wife, Dear Jane, and others. So if you've got, I'll post the question in on the blog, if I remember to do that. I've got a cold. I might not remember. No, I will. Or I won't. You know me. Anyway, I have lots of linkies for you on this episode. Oh, I know what I forgot to talk about is, maybe I did. I can't remember what I talked about. Anyway, maybe I talk about this in the quilt diaries. Maybe I don't. Who knows? I have no idea. I think my most recent quilt diary was on Monday. No, it was actually this morning, but before that was on Monday. I have no idea what I talked about. But last week, I went to a friend's house. Oh, I did talk about this. Okay, you'll hear about this. Anyway, wanted to find out the name of a block, put it out in the Twilter sphere, got some responses. And then Jay over at artquiltmaker.com, she did an entry on researching block patterns. I thought was very useful. So I linked to that, just linked to some interesting things I came across this week, including, you know, Barbara Brackman has a blog on modernism called Historically Modern Quilts. Now, she has just kind of shut it down, but it's still up, but she very recently said, you know, I don't think I have much more to say about this, but but she did it for a few years. I wasn't even aware of it. She's got a lot, you know, she has on her main blog just a lot of things on the sides, and somehow I managed to skip that. But it's interesting, and if you're interested in modern quilting, could kind of see what came before, to see the river of quilts and ideas, and also just ideas about modern art, which play a part in modern quilting. I have a link to that blog. I have a link to Jenny Byers' blog, to the page, which is all her blocks are up there. And it's neat. They're beautiful. So go look at that. I think that's all I've got. What did I just tell you I was going to put up there? Something. And see, now I've completely forgotten. I said I was going to post something up there. Quilt and Jenny, you tell me, and I'll post it. Maybe it'll come back to me. I don't know. Anyway, like I said, I want to keep this on the short side. So thank you for listening. Come by and leave a comment. I know I've got other things to talk about, but my brain's a little cloudy right now. So let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Thursday, November 20th, 2014. I got tweeted this morning. I don't know, do people send you tweets? I don't think they do. People tweet and you get notified. I got notified by Brenda this morning. I don't know how to talk about Twitter. And I had posted a new episode yesterday, and whenever I post a new episode, I put it up on Twitter. I just say, episode X is up. Don't forget to comment, you know, because I'm really big on the comments, and you guys have been great with the comments. And Brenda F. tweeted, you are getting awfully consistent. Will it continue if we comment more? And the answer to that, Brenda, is yes. When I feel like we are in communion, when we are communicating in talking back and forth all the time, well, of course, yes, your comments are what keep me going and what keep me posting. So hey, just saying, I do, I love comments. I think, you know, iTunes reviews are great. Feel free to, if you haven't reviewed this podcast on iTunes, to go, you know, if you have nice, wonderful things to say. If you don't, then please stay away from iTunes reviews. But no, everyone who does iTunes reviews always writes really nice things. And we do, the podcasters, the quiltcasters, love to get our iTunes reviews, but more than anything, I love comments. And everyone has these great things to say. You guys are really funny and smart and lovely, so yeah, comments. Speaking of loveliness, this is not quilt related at all, but I thought I would share because I'm thinking about it. Really, this goes back several weeks. You will recall that Renee Zwellinger, whose name I really don't know how to say or spell, but you know who I mean, got plastic surgery, and it was a shock to the rest of us. And there was a lot of, you know, chatter about it and some hating, which I don't like because I love Renee. There was some hating done on her, and then other people going, well, what, you know, why are you hating on Renee? What's the big deal? Like it was nothing. But of course it was something, because Renee Z changed her face. And it was a face a lot of us loved. Here's the thing about Renee. I think a lot of us, there are a lot of us, you know, there are different kinds of pretty. There's like glamorous pretty. There's sexy pretty. There's sort of all-American pretty. And then there's cute pretty. And some of us listening to this podcast or narrating this podcast kind of fall in the category of cute pretty. Maybe not as cute pretty as Renee Z, but you know, cute pretty. So we like the cute pretty stars because we get them. We're like, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, you're not Julia Roberts. You're not whoever we're thinking is absolutely gorgeous right now, but you are really pretty. It's just cute pretty. And we like cute pretty. Cute pretty actually ages pretty well. But for some reason, Renee was not trusting her cute prettiness. She was not trusting it to age well, her cute prettiness. So she changed it, and she changed her face. And for a lot of us, that was heartbreaking because we really liked her face. And we're willing to go with that face into her 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, just willing to go there with her. But she wasn't willing. And then, on the upside, Frances McDormand, who you know from Fargo and many other wonderful films, and apparently HBO just did Olive Kitteridge, and she starred in that. And she is in her mid-50s, and she was doing a lot of interviews as part of the promotion for Olive Kitteridge, and she talked about not getting plastic surgery and why it broke her heart when her friends got plastic surgery. And she is in her mid-50s, and she looks it, you know, and she looks great. She was owning it. She's like, I want to be an elder. I want people to come to me for the wisdom I have to offer after having lived so many years. And that was like, see, that's where we want to go. We want to go with the other Frances, as we'll call her, the other Frances. It's because she's a Frances. No, it's just because she's very cool. But this is leading to me. And yesterday, and I was taking pictures of the mosaic quilt with my iPhone. And have you ever done this? You're like taking pictures with your iPhone and either you hit the video, you accidentally switch camera to video. And so you have like long videos of something not moving because you think you're taking its picture. But there's also you can accidentally reverse the camera. And so what you're getting is a selfie. And yesterday I was doing that, you know, taking pictures. I don't know what I did, but suddenly I was looking at a picture of myself. It was just the picture in the screen. I hadn't actually clicked to take the picture. It was not a flattering angle of my face. And it was a little depressing. I'm 50, as if you've listened for any length of time, you know. And I'm at that age where my neck is going. I'm someone who has gained and lost a lot of weight many, many times over the years, which is not going to help the elasticity of your neck and chin and jawline, just in case you're wondering. Doesn't help that. And I also have a short neck. Really, eventually what's going to happen is we're going to go from my tip of my chin to my collarbone. This is going to be one straight line. You've seen necks like that. That is what I'm heading toward. I started noticing the neck stuff a couple of years ago. And also more the chin. All right. More just starting that line, the jawline kind of starting to get a little shaky. And then, but also the neck. And my thing is the waddle is happening. Right. So you notice these things and you're shocked by them. Shocked. And then you get over it. And you kind of get used to it. And then something new happens. And you're shocked. And for me, here's the thing. I always looked younger than my age. Which when you're in high school and college is kind of a drag. You know, and if you're sort of cute as opposed to glamorous or sexy or whatever, it's even a bigger drag because everyone thinks you're their little sister. So I was cute for a long time. There's a way in which as you get older, the looking younger, it starts to play to your advantage. And I think the prime years for that are actually like 37 to 48. There's this 11-year window when it works for you, like nobody's business. So, and what you do when you realize that it's like when you're 37 and people are like, what? 37? Really? You start age bombing people. This is my new term, age bombing. So what I start saying, well, you know, I'm almost 40. And people will go, really? Wow, you do not look 40. And then when you're 42, you go, yeah, you know, I'm almost 45. What? And then as soon as you're 45, you start talking, yeah, you know, I'm almost 50. Well, maybe. But definitely by 46, 47, you're age bombing. Serious with the 50, so people's eyes can widen and they can look shocked, like, I can't believe it. When you hit 47, 48, it works maybe a little bit, but it's more you realize that people's responses are less shocked and more automatic. Really? Wow, you don't look like you're almost 50. But it's not that, like, oh my god, what? It's more less just like manners requires you to say, oh, you don't look 50. And it was funny, last year, right around this time, I went up to the mountains to do a school visit, and the woman who drove me around, who was like a coordinator for the school district, kind of a programming coordinator, was great, and we really hit it off, and she was exactly my age, and her car was the exact kind of messy as mine, and we both admitted to that what twice a year we would take our cars to the deluxe car wash and pay $40 to have it all done. Inside and out, but that was it for car prettiness, car aesthetics. Anyway, and we were talking about, and what's interesting is she grew up in this area, so she like has all her best friends in the mountains where I was. She has all her best friends from going up.
And we started talking about aging, and I said that. I said, you know, people no longer look shocked when I tell them my age. And she said, I know, that just started happening to me, too. And she also, cute, pretty. But she had the same thing. It's like, yeah, there's some point. If you are a white, middle-aged woman, that stops. Now, you know what I did? I took a good selfie. I put on some makeup. I put some goop in my hair. And in fact, I made my hair stick up. Put on a scarf, because that's what we do when our necks start going. We put on scarves. And I took a good selfie. And good light. Lighting is so important. And it's a good picture. I took a picture, and I changed my profile picture on Facebook. And I don't look... It's not a good picture because it makes me look 40 or 30. I feel like I look 50. You can see all my little crow's feet around my eyes. I don't look like a young woman, but I look like a 50-year-old woman who knows how to put some goop in her hair. It's just, you know, and knows about good lighting and who is cute, you know, and that's what a lot of, oh, cute. I got a lot of, oh, you're a cutie. But it made me feel better. Actually, I got so many comments that I started feeling embarrassed, you know, like kind of a big fuss over this picture. But at the same time, I felt better. I was like, yeah, you know, own your age, look it. If you start feeling bad about your neck, watch The Kids Are All Right with Annette Bening and Julianne Moore. I have to tell you, there's this amazing scene toward the end of the movie. Annette Bening, is on the couch, and she's crying, and she's wearing no makeup. And this Annette Bening is a beautiful woman. Not cute, pretty, beautiful. No makeup. She's, I think, 54, 55. She's a woman who clearly has spent a lot of time in the sun, whose neck is the neck of a 55-year-old woman. The lack of vanity, I just loved her. She is like number one on my list, or maybe number two after Frances McDormand. But the lack of vanity, because this woman... You know, the good thing about having been cute pretty most of your life is that when your looks start going, as we say, when you start looking your age, it's like, you know, you feel a little bit of a loss. You're never going to look 25. You're never going to look 35. But you got so much else all your life. You've been getting, you know, you've been getting love for being you, for being... smart and funny and interesting, right? You have stuff going on that has absolutely nothing to do with your looks, which is probably why that accidental selfie is so shocking, right? Because you've kind of forgotten you had looks, because you're busy making quilts and, you know, going to lunch with your friends and working in the garden and getting ready to pick up your kids from school. Right, you've got this full life going on that doesn't have very much to do with how you look. So the accidental selfie's like, oh, wow, huh. I hadn't really thought about how I looked. And guess what? I look 50. But I do look, and at our school, our fine school, there are, especially in the lower school, there are a lot of young moms who are gorgeous. There are so many blonde children at the school. It's really weird. But these are young women, usually in their early 30s, and they're beautiful women. They're beautiful women. They are the wives of rich men. They spend a lot of time on their looks. And I wonder how they're going to do with the accidental selfie when they're 50. Some of them, by then, will already have had plastic surgery. Some will make the appointment with the plastic surgeon, because so much of their time and energy has been consumed by being good looking, by being pretty, by being beautiful. And for those of us who have big lives, full lives, rich lives, it's a little bit of a shock to realize you look 50 after, you know, age bombing everyone for so long, just so you can hear how young you look. But it's also like, yeah, I think we can move on. I think we can move on. We can watch Annette Bening and The Kids Are All Right and go, here is a beautiful woman who, I mean, has been, you know, one of
the most beautiful, sexiest women in this country for a long, big chunk of her life. And here she is willing to do this for art. You know, it's like, hey, it's okay. So those are my thoughts sitting here looking at my quilts. Glad that I make quilts. Glad that I have a life that is more than just my face. But glad too that I can still put on a little mascara and still be cute. Anyway, those are my thoughts for now. I'll have more thoughts soon. And I'll talk to you then. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Monday, November 24th, which means it's 1 month and 1 day till Christmas. If you're a celebrator of Christmas, are you ready? I am not, but I'm on my way. I've got my calendars. I've got my plans. I'm doing round 2 of the sugar cookies today. Very exciting. Not really, because I don't like doing them, but I'm getting them out of the way. Into the freezer. Woohoo! Yeah, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about quilting. Yes, surprise, surprise. I'm going over to Thimble Pleasures this afternoon to buy a couple more yards of the very pretty violet Kona fabric I bought for the backing of the mosaic quilt. I don't have quite enough. I bought 4 yards last week. I believe it was last week. Perhaps it was the week before, but I'm pretty sure it was last week. And I bought 4 yards and I thought 4 yards would do it. I just had no consciousness, no awareness of how big this quilt is. It's like almost square. It's like 84 by 86, something like that. Very close to square for me, you know. It's exciting, but I didn't know. And so I just thought 4 yards will be enough. 4 yards isn't enough. And I spent some time yesterday afternoon sketching. Like, well, I could, you know, I like modern quilt backs. And obviously I could do something, make some funky blocks or whatever, and not have to get more fabric. But, you know, doing those funky backs takes a long time. And I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything funky, but I'm not going to do much funky. I have a few leftover half square triangles, and I think I might make a row of them and insert them someplace. But I don't want to do a whole lot of funkiness. I just don't, because, you know, we've got to move on. So I'm going to get a couple more yards of the violet just to make sure. I think 1 more yard would do it, but we like to make sure. I don't want to keep going back again and again. I'm always hoping that later tonight I will get that going. I will make that back happen. But I don't know. I never know at the end of the day. I slept well last night, so hopefully I'll have some energy, but sometimes I just want to read. You know, it's winter. We'll see. But I hope I'm going to have the energy and the desire to get working on that back. I have just ordered a couple things that Leah Day recommended for quilting. I ordered a slider-free motion machine quilting mat. It's a Supreme slider-free motion quilting mat. Leah recommended that for, I don't know, to slide. But it's slider free. Now I don't remember. It's been a little while since I watched these, my Leah Day classes. And also some little Genie Magic bobbin washers. Yeah, and I don't remember why she wants me to have those either. But they're coming Wednesday. So I will rewatch Leah and be reminded why I'm having these things. I went back and forth about buying them. The Studio Supreme slider free motion machine quilting mat cost $25. And I thought, it's getting near the holidays, don't really want to do it. And I was like, yep, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. If I'm really going to learn how to machine quilt, I'm going to suck it up and spend the money and get that. So I'm awaiting those things. So yesterday to get me to this place. Well, you know, Jay and I have been over the years, and now I think we're into year 3 of it, have been working on a sampler quilt together, which means that she sends me, basically works up a tutorial, and then we Skype, and then I make a block. And we haven't done it in a while. I think, what was it? So I tried the New York Beauty, that paper pieced beautiful thing that did not work out for me. I mean, it did in a funky kind of way, but it didn't. It's supposed to be a block, and mine was not really blocked. It was rhombus or something. So I need to do that again.
And then I guess then the next thing was the hexies. And I finally finished that hexie block. Well, I finished the sewing the hexies together. And now I need to actually sew it down on a block of fabric. A couple of weeks ago, I got out two of the blocks that I have finished that I truly love. The Dresden plate. I really want to make a Dresden plate quilt one day. And then the other is this applique, with a fused applique sort of wreath that I think is very pretty. Now, I've been thinking about this quilt, you know, in the back of my mind, and, you know, there's part of me, a big part of me that wishes that I'd just done a red and white quilt, that I'd done everything in this quilt, red and white, but I didn't. And I thought, well, this is a way to learn about color and da, 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 da. And so I got all these different colors. And, you know, for the most part, they actually do work together. But in my mind, it just felt like when I visualized the sampler quilt, you know, I saw these different color blocks and just seemed weird to me. But I now have them. For some reason, yesterday, I think because I had these two blocks up that I really liked, I'm like, why don't you just get all your blocks out and look at them and put them on the board and see what you think. And I'll take a picture so you can see and you can tell me what you think. But, you know, I actually like all the different colors. So it's, you know, I don't think in some ways it's a traditional sampler quilt in my terms, in using all these different color backgrounds. But it's kind of pretty and the colors do go together. And I like it. There are two blocks, I'm sad to say, that for some reason are way too small. So I think that the blocks are supposed to be 12 inches, 12-inch blocks. And I have got this beautiful, oh, I know what it's called. It's a star, and I know what it's called. I can't think of it now, but it's Y-seams. It's the block the star you... why isn't it blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll figure it out later. When I actually have to find my notebook with all my notes and tutorials, I'll tell you later what it is. It's an 8-pointed star. It's Y seams, and it was hard to do, and it is turned out to be like a 10-inch block. So and it's also of all the colors, it works the least well. Although I guess if it were the right size. And the other one is for the curved seams. And I can't remember if that's a Drunkard's Path, what the name of that block is. Again, when I find my notes, I will tell you. But it also came out too small. And I don't think it would look good just to add fabric to the side. So I'll need to redo those. But in some ways, that's probably good, because those were hard ones, and it would be good to do them again and to relearn how to do them. But I'm kind of excited about this now, because I do look at these blocks and think, oh, you know what? I like them. So when I go to Thimble Pleasures, I'm going to get some more fabric and redo. I just want to say it's a Lamont star, a Lamont star, something like that. Redo the Y seam block and the curved block. And again, those would be good patterns to practice on anyway. And then, of course, I need to do a New York Beauty, which would be good because I also could use to review paper piecing, because I've not done any paper piecing lately. So I'm kind of excited about that. Jay was a big help this weekend. So on Friday, I went to a lunch for sophomore moms. So, you know, at our fine school, it's a very small school. So I think each class in the upper school has maybe 120 kids. It's a very small school. So you can do things like have lunches for the moms of 10th graders and not have that. You're not going to get 120 moms. But there's this woman, Dana, who's the mother of Carter. And I like Dana a lot. We're very different people, but at the same time, we're kind of, I don't know, simpatico. Now she is, so at our fine school, also known as Durham Academy, there are a lot of wealthy people, sort of country club wealthy people. And in fact, there is a country club neighborhood called Hope Valley. It's beautiful. There's a golf course runs through it. And the houses are huge and expensive and beautiful and what have you. And there's a core group of moms. To the best of my knowledge, none of them work outside the home. They pretty much run the school. One of them will be your room parent. I am your other room parent, but one of them is almost always your room parent, and they're very good at running this stuff. They run the PTA. They're very good at it. We recently had a death in our community, very sad, and these are the moms that are on top of it, that are organizing the meals, organizing all of it. So and there are many of them I like a lot. I think they're nice people. They do a lot of work for good in our community. They're so junior league. They're kind of junior leaguey, which I am really not. But that doesn't stop me from liking them. And Dana is someone I like a lot. We met in Weight Watchers. We didn't meet. I mean, I've known her since kindergarten, since Jack was in kindergarten, but we really never connected until Weight Watchers, like in 2005, I think. And she lost over 100 pounds. When I first met her, or, you know, in kindergarten, she was pretty obese. And, you know, notably, and this is, as I think I talked about in my last quilt diary, this is a school where there's not a lot of obesity. There's not a lot of overweight people, period. And so she was quite noticeable. She's also tall. So she was just this very large woman. And she lost a lot of weight at Weight Watchers. Then she gained a lot of it back. And then she decided, she's very involved in the food bank. So she decided to do a fundraiser and got people to sponsor her for weight loss. And in fact, I sponsored her for $1 a pound, and she lost 80 pounds, but it all went to the food bank. And so anyway, but she has a very lovely house, and it's very, the floor plan is open, and but with lots of rooms you can kind of go in and out of. And she loves to entertain. She's very extroverted and loud, and is always, if you're in a meeting with her, if she's not running the meeting, she is talking the most at the meeting anyway, and she can be funny. And DA does this big auction, and she's the auctioneer, and I've never gone because we don't do stuff like that, but I'm sure she's very good at it. Yes, so that is Dana, and we get together for lunch every once in a while. She's really smart, and like everyone, she's got her stuff. And I'm someone who's pretty open about my stuff. So, you know, so I think that we enjoy each other's company. So she had this big luncheon. And she has she has some very nice quilts in her house. And in fact, she has a yo-yo quilt, which I love, and every time I see it, I think I'm going to make a yo-yo quilt, and I haven't yet, but I love the idea because I love her yo-yo quilt very much. Well, this time when we came in, it was cold, and people had coats, and so she directed us to just an upstairs bedroom. It's sort of just a half level up, and it was a guest room. Very pretty, and there was a quilt folded on the bed. It was beautiful, and it was clearly, because, you know, now I'm a quilt expert, I'm practically, you know, qualified appraiser. No, not at all, but I could tell, you know, I could tell it was old, and two, I could tell from the fabrics that it was 1930s quilt, you know. And I asked her about it, and her grandmother had made it, and she thought her grandmother had made it in the 20s. And I said, yeah, it definitely looked Depression era. And we were looking at the pattern, and I said, do you know what this pattern is called? And she didn't, and the quilt wasn't labeled. And so anyway, I asked her if I could take pictures of it, and she said yes. And I said I would try to see if I could find the pattern name. And so I posted it on Twitter, and especially hoping that Jay might know. Noni came up with a couple possibilities. Now, the possibility, and I'll put a picture of it up. The closest thing I found looking through my books and looking online was a block called
robbing Peter to pay Paul, which is a pattern from the early 20th century. Jay thinks it's a Grecian cross. She came up with a couple things. I think one was, I can't remember, Pappus something, but the other was a Grecian cross, and she felt that that was most likely correct. And, you know, I kind of, and Noni came up with a couple other ideas that also seem plausible. So it's hard to say, because, and of course, you know, the block itself does not match any of those, the blocks that people came up with exactly, but, you know, people do variations on stuff. So you can say, well, this is most closely related to so-and-so. Noni posted the picture that I posted on a different website, and someone came up with Tennessee cross, but we don't have a source on that yet. Anyway, I'll post the picture, and if you have any ideas what it might be, or if you want to concur with Jay or Noni, please do. But I got lots of great responses, and it was just an interesting discussion, and now I kind of want to make the block, so maybe Jay and I will make it for the sampler quilt. Jay posted a neat blog post about how to do research for finding quilt block patterns. You know, the book that I would really like is the Barbara Brackman Encyclopedia about block patterns, but it's out of print. I think you can get the e-version on her website. I can't remember how much it is, but if you want the print version, it's going to cost you about $130 at this point. So I'm not getting it at this point, but I think it would be really fun to have. There is, Jay also referred to the Jenny Beyer Encyclopedia of Block Patterns. I don't know if that's the exact title, but that is $30 and still in print and more affordable. So I'm putting that on my Christmas list. I've got a lot of quilty books on my Christmas list I'll need to pare down. I have a few novels as well, including the new Jane Smiley novel and a couple others. Maybe if I think about it, I'll make a list on my blog. So there you have it. And those are the things that were on my mind. I thought I would go ahead and do a diary. Who knows? I might have more for you later. Today, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I have lots of stuff to talk about or think, or I remember things that I forgot to say before, so I could come back. But otherwise, I will come back a little later and, in the week and get you all caught up. So that is it for now. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Saturday, November 29th. I have a cold. I won't dwell on my cold because, you know, it just, whenever people start talking about their colds, then you feel uncomfortable and like your throat starts getting sore. Yeah. So colds are very contagious. I believe that it's possible they are contagious through the airwaves, through the podcast waves. So after you finish listening to this, go wash your hands. Anyway, not a bad cold, just a head cold. I know it seemed like I just had a cold like a month ago, but that turned out to be a bug. This is actually a cold. See, I'm just dwelling on the cold, which is what people who have colds, they just want someone to complain about their cold too. Usually that should be your spouse, but my spouse, the man, you can't really complain to him. I've talked about this. He's a stoic, like many men. Now I say, I know many men who are like this. I also know men who are quite the opposite, who are like me. They're like, the minute they start sniffling, they're like, I'm going down, honey. That's how I am. Anyway, but the man is a stoic, so and I think his way of dealing with illness, at least of the mild sort, including his own, is just pretend it doesn't exist, and you really have to be fainting in front of him, and then I'll be like, do you not feel well? So I'm complaining to you, but it's fine. It's just a head cold. Do you know what I mean? I mean, some colds where you're tired, and you need to sleep all day. It's not that kind of cold. It's just the kind where you irritate yourself to death and other people, as you are now experiencing with your coughing and your sneezing and your eyes watering. Can't wait to get out into the world today. I did get out into the world yesterday. I mean, my goal really is just to stay at home as much as possible, doing nothing, or sewing, even better. And I'm trying to think. I think on Thanksgiving Day I took a walk, but otherwise was home. And yesterday was home most of the day. We did go to a friend's house, and late in the afternoon they had a burn. They have about 10 acres of land, and they've got a fire pit. It's very nice. sort of out behind their house, probably about, I don't know, 100 yards, maybe a little bit more behind their house. I'm going to try not to sniff. I'm also feeling a sneeze coming on. I know, get on with it. So we went out there, and it was really nice. I didn't, you know, this is my friend, Lisa, who I love, and is a really interesting combination of kind of woo-woo and really smart and down-to-earth. So she has a shaman. Okay, so that's the woo-woo part. But she also goes to Episcopal Church. That's more down-to-earth part. But she's very funny and very bright, and she and her husband met in high school in Texas. They went to a private school in Dallas, which is where they met, and they've been together ever since. You know, they're in the mid-40s. I think they took some time off during college. And they're very wealthy, but they wear their wealth pretty lightly. And they adopt people. So anytime you go over to see Miss Lisa, there's always going to be just this sort of posse of unlikely folks. You know, young people who she's hired to do the yard work, and just friends from Yugoslavia and that she's made who are artists, and she's just kind of adopted them. So it was like their big party of adopted people. They're Texans, so they got to have big fires and big parties, and they're fun. And Will is friends with their son Zach, and yeah, so it all works out. We had a good time, although I'm not sure standing around a fire pit breathing in smoke was perhaps the best thing I could have done, but it's okay. We had a good time. Yeah, but that's it. That's it for going out and about, but today I fear I have to go grocery shopping and go sneeze on people. They'll appreciate that. I didn't shake hands yesterday. I just said, you know, I'm coming down with a cold, and everyone's backed off like 10 feet. Like I had the fire to myself, essentially. Did I sew yesterday? A little bit. I worked on a pot holder. I worked on some free motion quilting. I believe, who was it? Valerie, I believe, suggested I just needed to drink more and I'd do better. I didn't post any pictures. I think there is something to that. Although drinking when you have a cold doesn't really help anything. But yeah, it's funny because I felt like, you know, I don't know how much free motion quilting I've done. It seems like a lot. And it seems like I'm not very good at it. But, you know, I should follow my advice for all things, which is practice every day. And I don't do that. When I'm working on a quilt, and I have not started quilting the mosaic quilt yet, you know, usually what happens is I get better over the course of the quilt. I did make a pot holder yesterday, and which is a very small area to quilt. And I was just messing around. I'm watching the Leah Day Free Motion Quilting Sampler class on Craftsy. And it's good, except that, you know, it's like I feel like the first three lessons, maybe even more, are really basic quilting stuff. And, you know, machine quilting stuff that I already know. And so, and Noni just tweeted about a class she took that was more advanced. And now, of course, I don't have my computer in front of me, so I can't tell you what it was. But she mentioned, you know, there are several machine quilting classes on Craftsy, which they just start with the quilting, you know, so they don't teach you how to baste a quilt. And the Leah Day does. So I think if you've not done any free motion quilting or any quilting on your own, the Leah Day course would be good. And of course, she's charming and she's a good presenter. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, and you know what the funny thing is? I love watching people sew. I love watching people do free motion quilting. I just find it really weirdly satisfying. And there's a lot of that in the Leah Day class. She actually has a friend come in who's not very experienced in free motion quilting, just, you know, helping her get comfortable with the process. And I just watched this woman quilt. It was fun. The class that Noni just recommended is The Secrets of Free Motion Quilting with Christina Camelli. And reading the class description, I thought, oh, you know, I should do that one. I'm a little wary about buying new classes, although, you know, right now the Craftsy classes are on sale, and my mom said that she would get me some for Christmas, but I already emailed her with the request to get, there's one, Jenna Wolfram, if I'm saying that correctly, on color, which looks great, but I may email her today since the classes are still on sale and say, by the by, I just need all the experience that I can get, all the help, all the helpful hints, all the tips, other than drink. Which I find helpful, but
Yes. So I'm still thinking about the mosaic quilt, and I don't want to get started until I feel comfortable, like I've got a good idea. Although I just got the most recent American Quilt Society magazine, which I subscribe to and like very much. And there's an article about quilting called The Square Flower, a free motion quilt tutorial. And I like this square flower, and I could see doing it on the mosaic blocks. If you'll recall, the mosaic quilt, it alternates between mosaic blocks and then white blocks. And I don't know what I'll do in the white blocks yet. So, but I'm not, I don't want to start this with a head cold, to be quite honest, because if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I mess up a lot and I spend a lot of time ripping out stitches. So I don't know, maybe trying to quilt it with a cold would actually be the thing. Maybe that is the correct state of mind. I don't know. But I think today I may make some more pot holders. I also have prepared several muslin quilt quilt sandwiches. So I may do some practice today. I'm also in the process. So I finished, as you know, the hexagon square for my sampler quilt, although I had not yet sewn it onto the fabric, and now I have sewn it onto a square of fabric. So I did that last night while watching my favorite movie that I watch at Thanksgiving, which is The Way with Emilio Estevez and his dad Martin Sheen. It's really starring Martin Sheen. This is maybe the third or fourth year I've watched it. The day after Thanksgiving, the day after Christmas, we watch Babette's Feast and drink a good bottle of wine. That's a very nice thing to do too. So that's, I think, what I wanted to tell you. That I have a cold. That I sewed a pot holder on the Big Black Friday sew-in. I don't think I won the Orifil thread giveaway that Orifil was doing, although I entered it several times. Oh well, I don't win much, other than love and affection from nice people. So that's all I need to win. And I finished reading 1,000 Acres by Jane Smiley, which I read 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago when it came out. And the beautiful thing is, although it's a very depressing book, it's a very good book, and I remembered virtually none of it because that's where I am. I'm listening to this podcast that Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us has recommended, Serial, and I'm all caught up with that. It's Serial. And it's really interesting. Right now, it's like the number one download on iTunes. So it's this reporter who is reinvestigating a crime that was committed in 1999. A young man, an 18-year-old, was convicted of murdering his ex-girlfriend. And there's some questions about how the case was handled and some evidence that wasn't submitted, blah, blah, blah. And it's fascinating because the reporter, whose name is Sarah something, we'll just call her Sarah, is interviewing people 15 years after the fact. So they're all, you know, these people who were high school seniors and now they're in their early 30s. And, you know, it's like, do you remember what happened on January 13th, 1999? You know? And they're like, no. Yeah, and that's, it's interesting. But even, I won't go into it, but it is, stuff that happened, books that I read 20 years ago, I know that I read them. I remember which ones I liked very much. I think it's safe to reread them all now. I think it's safe to reread books I read last year, quite frankly, but certainly 20 years, it's going to be a whole new experience, and reading 1,000 Acres was a whole new experience for me. I think I'm going to end up here before my voice goes and before I just really go into full-on ramble mode. I'd like to get this posted today, and so I better finish up. I'm like trying to forecast what's up for me the first week of December. Well, Jay and I are going to get back in the sampler quilt saddle. I also have a block of the month quilt that my mom and I were doing at the same time, I think 2 years ago, and I'm kind of in the mood. I'm just going to finish up end of the year, finish up mood. So I may get to work on that and just a lot of free motion quilting practice before I sit down and commit to quilting the mosaic quilt. So that's on the docket for the upcoming days. I'll tell you all about it in the next episode of the Off Kilter Quilt. Until then, keep in mind that life is short, so quilt first.